I read a story about a lady and her husband by the name of Jean and Steve Hansen. They were celebrating their anniversary at a beautiful beach resort in St. Lucia. One morning, they decided to walk the resort's wellness trail. It's a one-mile path with stations for exercising, like pull-ups, balance beam, and even an elevated rope bridge. Steve crossed the rope bridge easily, but Jean got up to it and she hesitated. As a matter of fact, she didn't cross it. The next day, they took a trip on a 24-foot sailboat. There were professionals that were operating the boat, and it was choppy waters, but she felt safe. And she realized that being on the sailboat was more dangerous than the rope bridge. So the next day, they decided to do the wellness trail again. And they got to the rope bridge. Only this time, Jean had a different approach. She saw the bridge and hesitated for just a moment, but she decided to act. And so Jean went over the rope bridge. And she made it all the way across. And she felt victorious after she got to the other side. So as she reflected on it, here's what happened. The first time she attempted to go across the rope bridge, she was focused on the holes where her feet or legs could slip, and she became afraid. 2 days later, she approached the same rope bridge, and this is what she did. She focused on the ropes where her feet would be placed. You see, the same is true of you and me. We have bridges into the future that God provides for us, decisions that we have to make. And the issue is whether we focus on the holes where we'll fall off, or we focus on the ropes where we will place our feet. And Jean learned a big lesson that day. She had to always stay focused on where she would plant her feet so that she could cross the bridge. Risk is a part of life. We all have experienced that. Some risks aren't worth taking. Others are when they're calculated and they're based upon what we believe to be the will of God. So we're here today to talk about risks and this whole thing about getting out of our safe zone. There's a quote in your notes by Dr. David Jeremiah. I want to read it to you. It says, "True faith isn't afraid to take risks or to risk everything on the promises and plan of God." In other words, God will provide opportunities of bridges to our future, but we have to decide whether we're going to cross it or not. And the degree in which we focus on the rope rather than the holes will be the degree to which we will successfully be able to navigate and claim what it is God has for us. There's two parts to this message. The first part, I want to talk about how to live life in the safe zone. In other words, if you and I do these things, we'll always be safe. The second part of the message is how to risk life in the faith zone. In other words, there are times where we have to take risks of moving forward, believing God for something that's bigger than we are, that we can't pull off by ourselves. But we will have these opportunities of coming to that bridge and having to make a decision. So those are the two parts of the message itself. Let's get started. I want to talk about the 12 spies who went into the land of Canaan. And from the 10 that came back after 40 days and said, there's no way we can conquer this land, we will learn how to play it safe. We'll find ourselves in this story. I've been there. You probably have too. We just don't want to live there. So let's get started. Three thoughts of how to live life in the safe zone. Number one, focus on the opposition or the negative. If you want to play it safe in life and there's a bridge in your future that you could potentially cross, but you don't want to cross it, all what you have to do is focus on the negative. Read with me verses 31 to 33 in your notes. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, and the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." So the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan, 40-day reconnaissance mission. Check out the people. Check out the foliage. Check out the fruit. Bring samples back. So they all came back. 10 of the 12 basically said this: "There's no way we can do this." And in the text that we just read, I want to identify seven basic reasons why they felt like they couldn't. They're in your notes. Number one, they said, "We cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are." Number three, "The land devours its inhabitants." Number four, "The people are of great size." Number five, "They are from Anak, the land of the giants." Number six, "We are like grasshoppers in our own eyes." Seven, "We are like grasshoppers in their eyes." The 10 came back and said no, and here's why. They focused on the holes in the bridge. Now, in your sermon listening guide, you can fill this in. That word that goes in there, they focused on the holes in the bridge. So here's what they did. They had the same opportunity as everyone else, Joshua and Caleb, but these 10 looked at all of the opposing forces of what could go wrong. You're here today and you have a big decision to make. Maybe it's about college. Maybe it's about getting married. Maybe it's about your career. Maybe it's about where you're gonna live. And there's always risk involved. And what we found, these people, they focused on all the what ifs and it stalled them out. And they said, "No, we really can't do that." Now, I want you to realize, in this text, there is no mention of the word God. None. Their faith somehow had shrunk, and they were just neutralized by the opposition they saw when they went to the land of Canaan. The same thing can happen to you and me. We see an opportunity in front of us, and we can literally shrink back from it. We're overwhelmed by it, and we say, "Whoa, can I really do this?" But understand, they had no mention of God in this text. They focused on the holes in the bridge. I want to read you the names of the 10, and then I'll ask you a question at the end. Here's the 10 spies and their names: Shamua, Shaphat, Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Guel. How many have heard of them? Probably not. How many have heard of Joshua and Caleb? You know what happened to the 10? They died of a plague. God was not happy with their unbelief. And these 10, we don't know their names, you know, but they were players. And the reason we don't is because they focused on the negative of what could go wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. We have to analyze the situation. We don't ignore things. But the focus literally derailed anything inside them that they could accomplish it. It just neutralized it. So point number one, They focused on the opposition. Number two, here's the second thing they did when they played it safe. They minimized the opportunity in front of them. They minimized it. God wanted to give them the land of Canaan, but read with me now, verses 2-4 in your notes. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" God is about to give them an amazing, bright future, a land that is just filled with good things. And the people here said, "Let's go back to Egypt." They wanted to return to the old life. They were, fear so much gripped them, they said, "There's no way we can cross this rope bridge. There's just no way. Let's go back to Egypt." And so these 10 men spread a negative report, and it went among 2 million Israelites, and the people started to murmur and complain, and God said, "Okay, if you don't want to believe me for it, I'll wait for the next generation." And all of them died off, 20 years of age and older. But the point is, minimizing the opportunity literally means you really aren't that interested and you play it safe. You're not interested in the future prize and what God may be calling you to do because it involves a rope bridge. And if we look at the holes and the gaps rather than the rope itself, we will want to go back and play it safe. Number three. The third thing that about people who live in the safe zone is this. Just don't pursue the objective or the dream. Whatever goal you have, if you want to play it safe, just don't go after it. Read with me Hebrews 3:19. "So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief." Unbelief is like brakes on a car. And if unbelief gets a grip on us, we hit the brakes and the car eventually stops. That's what brakes are for. That's what unbelief does to us. It's a glass ceiling, a glass wall. And if we don't believe God, we're not going to go after the dream. We're going to play it safe. Sounds good, looks good, but I've decided to just hold back. And unbelief prevented the children of Israel from going into the land of Canaan. Mark Batterson, in his book Wild Goose Chase, wrote this. He said one day that he visited a zoo. And he was in the ape house. And he looked through the protective plexiglass window at a 400-pound cage gorilla. You're just sitting there, 400 pounds. And then this is what he wrote. Listen, "I wonder if churches do to people what zoos do to animals." You see, if we end up in a cage of insulation, we're never going to go after it. You know why? We're playing it safe. We've all been to a zoo, and whether it's a gorilla, a lion, whatever it might be, you know, they're just in a small area. They're confined. They're caged. But when they get into the wild, they have energy, and they move, and they're just alive. The same is true of us as believers. Sometimes the church, we get caged. We play it safe. We don't think we can do that, or we're not willing to move out. And the end result is unbelief puts the brakes on, and we can't go forward. Even though the bridge is there, God is just asking us to cross it. But if we look at the holes, it's going to hold us back. So how do you live life in the safe zone? Do three things. Just focus on what can go wrong. That'll do it every time. Number two, minimize the opportunities. I don't know, it was better years back. Let's just kind of keep it the way it was or go back. And number three, just don't pursue it. Just let it go. And any person that does that is like the 10 spies, and they literally just play and live life in the safe zone. Now, there's times I've done that. Maybe you have too. But the second half of the message is about risk takers. And I want you to know the Bible is full of them. Noah built an ark. It took him 120 years. What is God asking you to build that may take a while? Not a boat. Maybe it's something else. He wants you to cross the bridge. How about Moses went to Pharaoh after all those years passed? Had to be a pretty gutsy move because he was on bad terms with the previous Pharaoh. Gideon had a huge army, and God says, I want you to reduce it. And he took this small group of 300 people and he attacked the enemy and defeated the enemy. How about David? He faced Goliath. Goliath, 9 feet, 6 inches. David's probably a teenager. And God did mighty things for him. He was a risk taker. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Got thrown into the fiery furnace. That's huge risk. How about this Esther? She's queen. But her people are about to be destroyed, and the Mordecai, the family member, they were talking, and Esther said this, I'm going to go before the king and just kind of speak up for my people. And if I perish, I perish. Peter had to get out of the boat. Risk taker. He says, I'm going to step out of this boat and I'm going to go for it. You're here today and God is saying, I want you to step out of the boat. I've got something new for you. You're going to have to cross a bridge. It's a rope bridge. Peter started looking at the waves of what could go wrong. He started to sink. But then when he got it together, and it says when he focused on Christ, it says immediately Jesus lifted him up. Listen, you and I have to be risk takers based on the promises and the purposes of God in order to cross the bridge into our future. Number one in your notes, risk takers stay focused on the promises of God. Read with me verses 8 and 9 in your notes. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because it will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. I want you to notice something. The 10 spies' report lacked any mention of God. It's not there. None. Caleb gets his chance to speak. He's one of the two that said, we can do this. And here's what he said. If the Lord is pleased with us, do not rebel against the Lord. But the Lord is with us. Three times in these verses, his faith made the difference. The way I see this, and you can fill this in, Caleb focused on the ropes in the bridge. The 10 focused on the holes in the bridge. The ropes represent the promises of God. I think that Caleb knew God wanted them to go into the promised land. He just knew that. He knew the promises of God. Great application here. Get into the Word and know the promises of God for your own life. God will show them to you. You just got to spend time with Him. Be quiet. Be still. Read a devotional book. Read the Bible. Get up and read a chapter or two every day or devotional material and say, God, just show me your promise for me. And he'll do that. Caleb focused on the promises of God. There's a similar story of David and Goliath. And You know the story. David went to see his brothers on the front line, and he's probably a teenager, and his dad sent him there with milk and cheese and bread, whatever, and or bread and cheese, and he sees this big Goliath guy, and 9 feet 6 inches tall. He's taunting the children of Israel, and there's this deadlock. Nobody knows what to do. They're afraid of Goliath, and there's a call to battle. But I want you to know something. The first 35 verses in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is the whole dialogue and setting the stage. Saul's speaking, it's talking about the army, but here's the insight. There's no mention of the word God in the first 35 verses of 1 Samuel, including the king who is Saul. None. David shows up, a kid, shows up on the scene, verse 36. You know what David says? Goliath is defying the armies of the living God. And he goes on to say, the Lord will deliver him into my hands. Here's the point. You may be the only believer in your family. You go to a family gathering, and there's language, there's all kinds of stuff happening. You show up, and you are carrying with you the presence of God. You make the difference at your family gathering. Maybe it's your office. And you might be the only one in which you have a faith, and you're trying to live it out, and all these people, they're telling stories or jokes, whatever it is, but you show up, and you have the living God inside you. Let me tell you, as a risk taker, you make the difference for the entire office. Do you realize in Joseph's life, when he lived with Potiphar, here's what it says. God blessed Potiphar's household because of Joseph. Potiphar wasn't even a believer. Your office can be blessed because of you. Your family, your home, maybe you're the only believer, it can be blessed because of you. Wherever you go, if you show up and God is living in your heart, God will bless the people around you just because of you. That's what happened to risk takers. And when David showed up to confront Goliath, he said, you know what? This isn't right. He defies the armies of the living God, and the Lord will deliver him into my hands. It's his faith. Risk takers have faith that focus on the ropes. And when you and I have an opportunity in front of us, and we have to make a decision of God, how are you leading me? If you believe that he's in it, and you've read the word, and you know his promises to direct you, you look at the ropes and you move forward, because they're the promises of God. That's what Caleb did. Number two. The second thing about how to risk life in the faith zone is this. Risk takers stay energized by their commitment. They stay energized by their commitment. There's 5 times in this Old Testament referring to Caleb in which it says this. Caleb followed me fully. He wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. I wholly followed the Lord my God. He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. 5 times, there's a reference of Caleb's heart before God. Now, here's the secret. You want to stay fresh in your faith journey and stay energized about life? It's all about your heart. If I'm truly surrendered and I'm yielded and I give myself to God and I say, God, here I am. I've got my faults and weaknesses, but I surrender my heart and I wholly follow you. Let me tell you, you will stay energized in your faith. I mean, some people, you love to be with them. You know why? They're energized. You can see it in their face. It's just fun to be in the presence of people who have a full commitment to Christ and they're doing all they can to serve him. So, number one, we find that risk takers stay focused on the promises of God. Number two, risk takers stay energized by their commitment of being totally surrendered. And number three, I love this one. Risk takers stay enthusiastic about their assignment. Read with me verses 10 through 12 in your notes. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to the battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. Caleb's 85. Listen, he did his best work when he was 85 years old. Now, he was age 40 when he had the first shot of going into the promised land on the 40-day reconnaissance with the other 11 spies. Okay, that's 45 years earlier. Now, here's the neat part. There's really nothing written about Caleb during those 45 years. Isn't that something? Great man of God, but there's nothing written about him. 45 years. He gets to be 85 years old. And he gets like a whole chapter, half chapter, just dedicated to him. It's his story. Here's what it's saying. Age is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. We may have limitations physically we have to deal with, and that has to be recognized, but age is irrelevant for God to use your life. You might be in the fifth grade today. Maybe you're in high school. Maybe you're in college. Maybe you're a grandparent. Maybe you're in your 80s or 90s. Age is irrelevant if you're a risk taker and you're willing to believe God for the next bridge to cross. I heard a message years ago by Charles Stanley. He was talking about how do you stay young. That's a good topic, isn't it? Yes, it is, huh? Okay. And here's what he said. You know how you stay young? You got to think young. And you know how you think young? You got to get a vision or dream of what God can do in your life. That's all it is. Caleb's 85, and he's enthusiastic about Hebron. He's enthusiastic. He has energy about it. You know why? He's thinking young. He's thinking of the promises of God on his life to make a difference. He's waited for this. He says, I'm just as strong today as I was then when Moses sent me out. I'm vigorous. I'm ready to go for it. I'm 85. Give me this hill country. And the rest of the story, he went up and did battle with the giants, Anak and some of those people. He himself went out and conquered them. But he was enthusiastic. He was energized. And you know why? He knew where the ropes were. The promises of God. And he crossed the bridge into the future because he knew where to place his feet. He saw the holes, the potential what happens or what ifs. He saw that just like the other 10 spies did. But he believed the ropes more than the holes, the promises of God. And in this text, he says, I'm 85, but give me the hill country. I want to encourage everybody here, regardless of your age, maybe you're in high school, you're in college, maybe you're a parent, you're single, you're married, makes no difference. Your best work can be today. You may even have physical limitations and aging and the body does wear out. I mean, there are those issues. I understand that. On the other hand, if you are like Caleb and you are wholeheartedly surrendered and you're walking with him, here's what God will do. He'll show you a bridge into the future. And you know what that future is? The promised land for you. It's something new and exciting. It's something fresh. It's filled with milk and honey. Maybe it's a new ministry. Maybe it's a new opportunity that God wants to just kind of spread out before you. And God is saying, I want you to go after it. And the way you go after it is you got to be a risk taker. calculating on the promises of God and his plan, and you stay focused on the promise. You focus on them. Number two, you stay energized by living a wholly committed life. Have fun doing it. Hey, might as well. You know, 5 years from now, we'll be 5 years older. Have fun in the next 5 years. And keep wholly committed and let God energize your life. Number three, stay enthusiastic. That's what Caleb did, and that made all the difference. So here's the closing thought. I'll have Michelle put that quote back up. True faith isn't afraid to take risk or to risk everything on the promises and plan of God. Last Sunday at the annual meeting, people were giving reports, and that was just a fun time. I shared a little bit about this, but I thought during 2024, God will be doing some amazing thing in people's lives. Things that we hadn't even thought about. You know, we're called to be a river, not a reservoir. What's that mean? A river flows. A reservoir just holds the water. Whether it's your time, talent, resources, if you're willing to be a river and say, God, here's my life, this could be the best year of your life. I have found the older I get, the more I have to push back on what I can't do. There's limitations. There's a sense of, oh, can I do this? But it's all about, do you think young? Do you believe the promises of God? Do you trust him that your best year could be this year? Something exciting happened. Who knows where we will be a year from now as a church? I mean, let God have his way. He's just looking for people who, through faith, are willing to cross the bridge that he gives to us. And as we cross it, it will take us to a better tomorrow. Our promised land. It's his goodness and his grace. It's what he wants us to live out. So God is calling us to that, individually and as a church. So whether you have to make a decision about college or where to live or any big decision, say, God, I want to be a Caleb. I don't want to shrink back. I don't want to pull back. I see there's some liabilities and scariness here, but on the other hand, I'm going to focus on the rope, the promises of God, and I'm going to cross that bridge like Jean Hansen did. Took her two shots at it. But the second time she crossed it, and she felt victorious when she got over it. Let's pray together. I want you to take just a moment of silence and ask yourself the question, God, what bridge do you want me to cross in 2024? Just ask him. And I want you to, like Caleb, say, Lord, here I am. I fully surrender myself to you. Just do that. Every part of me. I want to stay energized in my faith commitment. Just say, here I am. And this is what I want you to pray. I want to say, God, make 2024 the best year of my life. Make it the best year. I know what some of you are challenged with. It's called unbelief. The brakes are entering in. You got to push past that. Take your foot off the brake and say, God, I've got some limitations, but I'm going to believe you for something better, something bigger. A bridge, 2024, that you want me to cross that will lead me to a better future. Heavenly Father, we're here in Walton, New York. A group of people assembled together in your name. And I pray for each person here and those listening online that you'll make each of us a world changer. Whether it's local here in Walton or it's somewhere abroad, somewhere else in the world, here we are. And I pray you'll make us a Caleb, a risk taker, who focuses on the promises of God, who stayed energized in his faith and his commitment to you. And he was enthusiastic at age 85. I pray you'll help us all to stay young. And we do that by thinking young. And I pray that you'll put a mental picture in every person's mind of the dream, the vision, the goal, the objective, the bridge you want each person to cross. And give us the courage of Gene Hansen that when we get up to that bridge, we don't hesitate or shrink back, but we go for it. We take action. We move forward. And we place our feet on the rope that will sustain us going over the bridge. Father, we love you today. And we just offer ourselves to you and sincerely pray that 2024, despite all of our limitations, will be the best year of our life. Because you are the one that keeps us young. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.